I have an admission to make. I do not wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. Big machlokes Rishonim. According to many Rishonim, I am being mevatel the mitzvah daraisa of tefillin 4% of the year, 2 weeks of the year. That's, if you have a zik of Yir HaShamayim, that's not anything to sneeze at. That's very serious. That's very, very serious. It's already an ancient machalot Rishonim going back many, many centuries. Yeshom, you do wear tefillin Chol HaMoed, Yeshom, you don't wear tefillin. There's a machalot Tanoim when you wear tefillin on Shabbos. So that was where with Iska Paskin almost 2,000 years ago, for the last 16, 17 centuries at least, and no Jews have worn tefillin on Shabbos. But whether you wear tefillin Chol HaMoed or not is an old machalokas Rishonim. Beis Yosef quotes the Zohar. Abdenezer quotes the Gemara in Bechoros. Machlokas HaTanam, and we pass like Reb Shimon that Gemara Bechoros, and maybe he thinks that's a Raya. It's an old machlokas. No one would say that those who wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed aren't Chol HaMoedist enough. And no one would say that those who don't wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed aren't tefillinist enough. There's a legitimate machlokas. We all accept Kedushas Yom Chol HaMoed. We all accept the Kedusha of the Mitzvah of Tefillin. And the Halacha guides us in terms of how you deal with conflict. And there's a whole sugya, there's a whole discussion. There's a machlokas, a discussion how to paskin. Some kilos follow those Rishonim who say you do wear Tefillin on Chol HaMoed. Some kilos follow those Rishonim in the Zohar. And the Avin Enezer's Gemara and Becharos say you don't wear Tefillin on Chol HaMoed. In most of our communities, it's not something that people get sehitzed about. It's not something that people get angry about, whether or not you wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. No one will look at you as insufficiently, you know, pro Chol HaMoed or insufficiently pro tefillin. There are kehilas still in Eretz Yisrael. Sometimes there are places where people will get very emotional if someone shows up. Most of Eretz Yisrael, the Minhag Agra is universal for a number of issues, one of which is no tefillin on Chol HaMoed. If you show up to, there are many, many shuls in Eretz Yisrael. If you were to show up on Chol HaMoed and tefillin, you would get a very, not a warm response, but a hot response. But the b'derech klal to us, it makes sense. Okay, yesh omer mazai. Sometimes the kila will have an approach and everyone should follow that approach. And some kilos are, some do wear tefillin, some don't wear tefillin, the same minyan. But when people get very, sometimes it's important to be emotional about things, it's important to be passionate about things, but as we were saying yesterday in the context of Medinas Yisrael in general, and today we'll turn our attention to Yom HaTzmaut in particular, it is very important to be passionate. As a matter of fact, Hallel is supposed to be an expression of passion. But sometimes people's passions get the better of them and they lose rational, full capability for rational analysis, and you just sort of get carried away. And sometimes things become, sometimes people misinterpret things, which the Gemara points out. The Gemara says in the second parak of Shabbos, that the Gemara has a machlokas Abaye and Rava of how it works with saying brachas on drabanans. The Gemara says that one could have made the argument, you have a drabanan based on a safek, so you could make the argument that you shouldn't make a birkas on mitzvah, and you could have made the argument that we therefore should not make any birkas on mitzvahs a yontif sheni shel galius. Could have made the argument that matzah, that second seder, and so on and so forth, maybe kiddush. Not sure exactly how broadly it applies. One could have made the argument that based on the principles of birkas hamitzvahs and of safek rabban lakam, one could have made the argument that you should not make a birkas hamitzvah on yontif sheni shel galus. But the Chazal said that they were masakin. They made a special takana that you do say bracha birkas hamitzvahs. All the same brachas, the second seder, chutz laretz. You made the first, as the first thing, you say kiddush the second night, and so on and so forth. Why? Ki heichi, the Gemara says, so that, lo leisil zazulig. If you're not going to make a bracha, so then people are going to be mazal, so they're not going to take Yantav Sheni seriously. So Chazal made a special takana, you should say a bracha so that people take it seriously. And in fact, there's one case where we don't make a bracha on a mitzvah that we do because of Sveika Diyoma. When do we do a mitzvah? There's a Gemara. The Gemara says in this particular situation, we do the mitzvah, but Baruch Elo Mevarchinen. We don't make the bracha because it's Sveika Diyoma. Shmini Atzeres, exactly. Yeshiva Pesukah and Shmini Atzeres, the Gemara says, I think it's Daf Zayin or Mem Vav, Masech HaSukah. Gemara has a whole discussion, do you sit in Sukkah Shmini Atzeres or not, in Chutzlaretz? The Gemara comes to argue, says the Gemara comes to the conclusion, Yasuvi Yasvinan, Baruch Hilam of Archinan. You sit, you're supposed to have Yeshiva Pesukah, but you don't make a bracha. And Einenu Haroos, that is a mitzvah that we do because of Sveika Diyoma, that has far fewer adherents than Second Seder. So it seems to reflect Chazal's insight in Bamim Adlikin that sometimes, specifically, you don't say a bracha, people take it less seriously. More generally, that's an example of the fact that sometimes people will misinterpret what something means. There would have been a cheshbon, me'ikra din, yesh omrim, the Gemara, that you really shouldn't say a bracha on Yantiv Sheni Shagalias, but people would have been because of a cheshbon, because of a lamda shecheshbon, because it's a dindra bun that's niskan based on a suffix, therefore it doesn't call for a bracha. There would have been a valid cheshbon. It doesn't decrease the significance of the mitzvah, but it's that type of mitzvah bun that doesn't call for a bracha. There would have been such a cheshbon, but lamaisa people, as Chazal recognize, that people often misinterpret what details mean. That is certainly the case on Yom Ha'atzmaut, that people often take details of observance or lack of observance Yom Ha'atzmaut and sort of make them into like team colors. Like you must be, yes, or blue and white. You must be, if you were really Zionistic, the guy who's really Zionistic would say Hallel with a bracha. The guy less Zionistic, you don't really believe in Asalta Gula, you don't make a bracha. And so on and so forth. When the truth is, let's talk about Halal in particular. Rav Schechter is fond of pointing out that whether you should say Halal Shalem with a bracha or Chatzi Halal without a bracha Yom Ha'atzmaut is really a machlok as a Chasam Sofer and the Netziv, which might take you by surprise because both the Chasam Sofer and the Netziv lived in the 1800s, and they weren't alive and around at the time of how they had passed away long before Hakamas HaMedina. But that's exactly the point. There's a machlokas chasam sofer netziv about how halal works, and we'll get to that in a couple of minutes. And if you apply the principles of halal, so then what will emerge is you do say bracha, you don't say bracha, with halal shalem chatzi halal. Much as I said before, if I don't wear tefillin chalamoy, it doesn't mean that I am not, I hope, it doesn't indicate that I don't take the mitzvah of tefillin seriously enough. And a Jew who does wear tefillin chol hamoed does not mean that he's not somehow not machshev chol hamoed enough. But as we began yesterday, we begin today. That Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us a gift. We believe that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us a gift of Torah. That Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us a gift of guidance in terms of how to lead our lives. And we believe that halacha has what to say about everything. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us a remarkably, infinitely broad system that covers all parts of our lives, including how we should react to the state of Israel in general, and specifically what we should do on the day of its founding. So we should talk about a couple of things. We should talk about Tachnun, and we should talk about Halal. Talk about Slichus if you want, and Tainus, and sitting on the grounds of the Sak Ve'efer, and we could talk about blowing shofar and Haftarah. And we could talk about taking a haircut. And we could talk about singing and dancing. I want to share with you a little bit of what I got from my Rebbeim and from Shechter in particular, in terms of like looking at that we believe that halacha is what saved everything. And the halacha categories will guide us here, much as they do anywhere else. Tachron is not. We'll talk about Tachron briefly, then we'll jump into Hal, which is a thicker, deeper sugya, a broader sugya, I should say. The Gemara tells us a story of Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Elazar. believe it's the Gemara above Metzia. It's the end of the story of Tanur Shel Achnai. A long story, a lot going on there in terms of the Tahara, a lot going on there in terms of how Machlokas works, Lava Shamaimi, but not for now. At the end of the story, an epilogue is Rabbi Lezer is in Chayrim because he refused to accept the authority of the Sanhedrin. And Rabbi Lezer is in Chayrim, so he's a religious Jew. He davens three times a day, but he's davening at home because he's in Chayrim. He can't go to shul. So he davens at home. His wife, Rebbetzin Eliezer, was also Miss Gamliel. Rebbetzin Eliezer had married Rabbi Gamliel's sister. Rabbi Gamliel the Nasi and Rabbi Eliezer were brothers-in-law. And Rebbetzin Eliezer would go in every day during her husband's shacharis to shmooze with him right after Shmon Esrei, before Tachnun. Why was she doing that? So the Gemara explains, because Tachnun vastly enhances, multiplies the power, the potency of one Shmon Esrei, right? So she was worried that if her husband davens full strength, that may cause harm to befall her brother, the Nasi Rav Gamliel. So every day she would walk in and be mafsik him in between Shmona Esrei and Tachnun, thereby reducing the potency of his tefillah. The Gemara says there was one day that she thought it was Rosh Chodesh, but really it wasn't Rosh Chodesh. Tabi Ibur Diyarcha. It goes back to the days when it was the no printed calendars. It was Kiddush Al Pi Ariya. So she thought it was Rosh Chodesh, but really it wasn't Rosh Chodesh. So she doesn't walk in to be mafsik her husband, but it was, he knew it wasn't Rosh Chodesh. And he said Tachnun, and he had no hefsik that day. And as a result, the Gemara says that Rabbi Gamliel, his tefillos were more powerful. Rabbi Gamliel was at sea that day. We know that Rabbi Gamliel seems to have taken historically several sea voyages, probably to and from Rome on behalf of the representing Jewish people, representing Jewish people in Rome. And there are many halachic stories associated with those sea voyages. Some of them were with his chaverim, the whole story about Bir Maestris. Some of them probably were without his chaverim, which might be why he is missing from the Seder, the Maisa B'chamisha Zakenim, the Seder in Bnei Brak. He's not there, perhaps because he had gone himself to Rome. Be that as it may, he says this is one of the times he is on a boat, and there's a terrific storm suddenly, and he understands what's going on, and the Gemara tells about his tefillah. In response, he explains that Kadosh Baruch Hu, he's mispalal, he's mischanein, and he says, I wasn't doing this for my covet, it was all Hashem Shamayim. Ultimately, Gamliel is spared. And so, there are many, 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 and many sorts of ideas that emerge from that story. In terms of Tachanun, there are two. One is that Tachanun is a powerful multiplier of one's tefillah. And that's the way the Rama presents it in Perakei Vilchas Tefillah. It's one of the eight items that is not ma'akev in your Shmona Esrei, but will vastly enhance your Shmona Esrei. Following up with a Tachanun. It's a very powerful cap. And then the other thing you see from that Gemara, is that, a second thing you see is that in order to fully realize the power of Tachanun, you shouldn't be mafsik between Shmona Esrei and Tachanun. Okay, number two. Number three is that you don't say Tachanun on Rosh Chodesh. That's a Gemara. You don't say Tachanun on Rosh Chodesh. There's a big machlok, it's already, I think, amongst the Gaonim, whether Tachanun is a Chova or a Roshos. And that plays out, among other ways, in terms of how long the list is of days that you don't say Tachanun. If you look in the Rambam, it's a very brief list of days you don't say Tachanun. You don't say Tachanun on Shabbos, and Yom Tov, and Chol HaMoed, and Chanukah, and Purim Rosh Chodesh. I think that is the entire list of days in which the Rambam did not say Tachanun. Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah both have a far, far, far longer list of days you don't say Tachanun. We don't say Tachanun on the whole Chodesh Nisan. We don't say Tachanun the days in between Yom Kippur and Sukkot. We don't say Tachanun on Yisru Chag. We don't say Tachanun Lag BaOmer. We don't say Tachanun Tu B'Shvat. Or what's the Yom Tov of Tu B'Shvat? There's no Yom Tov of Tu B'Shvat. No Chi of Simcha on Tu B'Shvat. So a Tu B'Av. So Tu B'Av really is that good Tu B'Av. Tu B'Av is the Mishnah talks about the Simcha of Tu B'Av. So that's because we assume like the approach that Tachmon is a Roshos. Highly recommend. You see from that Gemara above Metzia that it's very important. It will vastly enhance the quality of your Shemona Esrei. I think I might have mentioned, Rav Shech likes to point out before Purim, that the Minhag Shtei Yeshivas in the days of the Gaonim was that they did say Tachmon on Purim. Why? Because even though Purim is Yontif, but such a powerful day of Kabbalah's Hatzfilas, how could you miss the opportunity to sort of get a double upgrade on your Shemona Esrei? It's keeping your Shemona Esrei on Purim, and with Tachanus. That's what the Minhag Shtei Yeshivas is said on Tachan. Okay. But the although it is a powerful enhancer of one's tefillah, we assume that it's Rishus and not a Chova. Recommended, highly recommended. Smart to say Tachanun. Why would you choose not to? But because it's a Rishus, so whenever it's a slight yumtiv we put Tachanun aside. That's why all those other days there's no real Chiyuv Simcha. Throughout the month of Nisan, there's no Chi of Simcha in Lag BaOmer, there's no Chi of Simcha in Tu B'Shvat, but it's a slight yontif. It's a Tu B'Shvat, it's a different Svarim, different Achronim talk about. It was likely meant as a Klal Yisrael over the generations developed a quasi yontif out of Tu B'Shvat. Tu B'Shvat is really like a Lahabdil, like April 15th. It's tax day. Tu B'Shvat is relevant for the fiscal year of Trumas and Maaseres when it comes to trees. For Shvius, perhaps, and for Arla, for Truma Samaritans, how you figure out, is this apple last year's crop or this coming year's crop? It's not a yomtiv, but it was our, we developed it, Klai over the centuries of Golas, developed it into a quasi-yomtiv to maintain our connection to Eretz Yisrael, because the whole mahus, the whole essence of Tu B'Shvat is about mitzvah tulis baretz. Its entire relevance is for mitzvah tulis baretz. So it was a way, during the long centuries of Golas, of Kalal Yisrael staying connected, staying plugged in to Eretz Yisrael. So it's not a real Chiyuv Simcha. So it's like, let's say when we, in the Chanukah Sugyas, we had a chance to see in Chafal from the Beit HaMasech HaShabbos, we had a chance to see a little snippet of, you remember the Megillah's Tainus, my Chanukah. And you remember the way the Megillah's Tainus works, it goes through different days that the Chachamim in the Bayesheni period established as Yom Tov, because of something or other that occurred during some improvement in the Beis HaMikdash or some rescue in the Beis HaMikdash that happened on that day, they established as Yontif, and there are different levels. So Chanukah and Purim are the highest level. Not only that you don't fast, and you don't say a Spedim, and perhaps even the Tkufas HaMikdash, maybe before and after, and you actually have mitzvahs Masios also. You have mitzvah Simcha Bishkum Vasei, certainly on Purim, in terms of the Suda and the other mitzvahs. Chanukah is a discussion. Is there a Simcha B'Kum Vaseh? Should you have the Suda? Or is it just a Simcha B'Shav Al Tasev, no Tainus and no Hesped? And sometimes you have lower levels. Do you forbid both Tainus and Hesped? Some of the other days you only forbid one, not the other. So there is this notion of Quasi Yavim Tovim. So Tu B'Shvat is a little bit like that. Tu B'Shvat is a little bit like that. Quasi Yomtiv has a little bit of a Yomtiv thing, but what was it? The whole Yomtiv was just a Sheval Tase. We don't say Tachan. We express a Simcha, a drop of Simcha on Tu B'Shvat, not saying Tachan, to maintain the connection to Eretz Yisrael. And Lag BaOmer, and so on and so forth. So certainly, if, as we discussed yesterday, there are different perspectives, but if you see, even if you don't see a Kamas HaMedina as one step in the, very significant step in the unfolding, the unfurling of the Gula process, you see, it was incredible Yeshua for Klal Yisrael. Certainly, to not say Tachanun, even to not say Lam Natzech, that's relatively straightforward, because we hold that Tachanun is Rishus. That's why if we leave out Tachanun in Chodesh Nisan, it's very easy to make the argument. One should not say Tachanun. How about Halal? So, to have a rational, substantive discussion of Halal, we should actually discuss Halal. So the Gemara in several places quotes a Braisa. The Gemara quotes it in Tanis, the Gemara quotes it but several places, but primarily in Erech and Daf Yud, where the Gemara has the primary discussion, comes up in Megillah also, that there are 18 days in which you say, Yud Ches Yamim, Shayachar Gomer Masal. 18 days a year in Eretz Yisrael, more in Chutzart, because it's Tzvei Kediyoma, when a Jew is supposed to say Halal Shalom. The 18 days are, first day of Pesach, Shavuos, 7 days of Sukkot, Shmi Atzeres, and 8 days of Chanukah. And then the Gemara in Erechin starts talking about, well, how about this? How about this day? How about that day? Why don't we say Halal Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? Why don't we say Halal on Purim? So on and so forth. Why don't we say Halal on Shabbos?
So Biskarov points out, in Sefer, based on Iran and the end of Pesachim, that it would appear from that sugya and others that, because the Gemara tried to figure out when you do, when you don't, that there are two separate mechayvim of halal. He points to the language of the Ran. There's a halal shal kriya and a halal shal shira. There's a recitation of halal and there's singing halal. Essentially, that sometimes you have halal because of simchas yamtif, and sometimes you have halal because of an ace. There's a machlok as a Rambam, whether halal because of simchas yamtif is daraisa or drabbanan. The Rambam writes in Hilchas Chanukah that and in Sefer HaMitzvahs, the halal is always drabbanan. Rambam writes halal is never daraisa. Rabban writes in Hasak and Sefer HaMitzvahs, I'm not so sure. Because the Rambam attacked the Bahag for many things in his count of mitzvahs. And one of them was, look at all these mitzvahs Rabban and the Bahag counted. The Rambam thinks it's absurd to count. Mitzvahs Rabban are binding, but they're not Tariag mitzvahs. Tariag mitzvahs, the Gemara says, Tariag mitzvahs that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to Moshe Rabbeinu. So Rambam says, hey, clearly, not every din is a mitzvah. Clearly, din and Rabban are not mitzvahs. They're binding. A Jew is supposed to keep them, of course, with great energy and enthusiasm, but it's not with the Tariq mitzvahs. And he attacks the Baha'i, look at all these mitzvahs Rabban the Baha'i counted. Rambam thinks it's absurd. So the Ramban says, to defend the Baha'i, he says, you know, there's what to say. Let's discuss whether or not you can count Rabbanans. He says, but by the way, not all of those that you mentioned are Rabbanan. So you attack the Baha'i for counting Halal. You, Rambam, think the Halal is Rabbanan. Maybe Halal is Daraisa. Why is Hal Daraisa? Where is the Pasuk in Chumash that to say Hal? So for starters, Simchas Yantif. The Gemara speaks that we discussed earlier in the year, Chetzu L'Hashem v'Chetzu L'Chem, that Simchas Yantif is supposed to be a blend. That Gemara in Pesachim, Simchas Yantif is supposed to be a blend of L'Hashem and L'Chem, spiritual Simcha and physical Simcha. Rabban says, what's the spiritual Simcha? Limra Torah and Hal. The halacha comes it. Supposed to part of the way in which you express spiritual Simcha Yantif is by singing Takadosh Baruch Hu. So that's the first day of Pesach and Shavuos and all the days of Sukkot Shmiat Tzeres. That's Halal Mitam Yontif. And the Gemara explains why saying Halal once on Pesach suffices Mikra Adin, and one's not Mechuyv Mikra Adin to say Halal on the rest of Pesach. So that's Halal Mitam Simchas Yontif. Then the Gemara says, what's the story with Chanukah? What's the story with Chanukah? Why saying Halal on Chanukah? The Gemara says Mefarsim Nisa. Because of the nace. And then the Gemara says, how about Purim? Nace. How about Purim? Purim also is a nace. Very good. The Gemara gives three answers. One answer is... Right. One answer is, Akati Avda Achashverosh Anan. That it was HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved us, but it did not result in Jewish sovereignty. Unlike the nace of Chanukah, which resulted in the return of Jewish sovereignty over Eretz Yisrael to the Chashmonaim, when they retook it from the Greeks, the Nes of Purim, we were saved, but we remained part of the Persian Empire. Akati Avdi Dachashveyoshim. One answer. Another answer, the Nes of Purim happened where? In Chutzlans. And answer number three is, we do say Halal on Purim. Except because, the Gemara doesn't say it's Beferish, but it's part of the Pshat, because it's a different type of a Nes, it was a Yeshua that was totally a Nes Nister, so the Halal is a different type of a Halal. Rather than singing Halal, we say Megillah, Kriyasa Zui Halayla. And that is, the Rambam quotes that opinion. As a matter of fact, that is why the Meiri goes out on a limb and says, so maybe if you don't have a Megillah, but you have a sitter, so you're not going to be able to make a mitzvah Megillah, you have no choice. You tried. If a Jew is stuck in Siberia, there's no Megillah. No Megillah. He tried so hard. He tried everything. He couldn't. He tried. He couldn't get it. So Onus Rachman Apatra. He has no way of making a mitzvah Megillah. The Meiri says, but maybe he should say halal. If you can't say it, because Megillah is double kiyum. It's a mitzvah mikra Megillah, and it's halal. So if you can't have Megillah, so maybe you should say, okay, that's not everyone agrees with the Meiri. But be that as it may. So you have two dinim, two mechayiv of halal. There's halal. There's halal halal on yamtif as a kiyum of simchas yamtif, and halal on Chanukah, and would have been on Purim. Zecher le'nes. And specifically, the Gemara says it has to be a Yeshua that took place in Eretz Yisrael, and a Yeshua that led to Jewish sovereignty, which is why Chanukah is in and Purim is out. And that sounds an awful lot. like Yom HaTzimot should be in as well. Oh. So again, so if you think that Kamas HaMedina was a terrible thing for the Jewish people, then obviously you're not going to say hell. But if you see that Kamas HaMedina was Yeshua for Klal Yisrael, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu moved mountains, and there were Nisim 48, there were Nisim 67, you read, it's Kedai of Chol Hamoed, so to speak, between now and Yom Yerushalayim, you have the next couple of weeks, if you're looking for a way to substantively connect, 6 Days of War by Michael Oren. Is a magisterial, a command performance. It's a thick work of history. He gives you a brief couple of pages, giving you the context and the decades and years and months leading up to the 6 Day War. Then he takes you through day by day by day. So depending on your tastes, some of the details of tank movements may not appeal to you so much, although if it is your taste, it's fascinating and breathtaking and awe-inspiring, as inspiring awe in the courage of people, and moreover, inspiring awe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who was making it work. If you read 6 Days of War with open religious eyes, it's hard not to see Yad Hashem leaping out at you. It reads like Al HaNisim of Hanukkah. It almost reads like Sefer Yeshua and Sefer Shoftim. Mamash, like to see Rabin V'Yad Na'atim in such remarkable, remarkable ways. Bay 1948 and Bay 1967. I will tell you that one of the places where I've had some of the strongest sense of hakara for myself personally, of hakara of Hashkachas Hashem in Eretz Yisrael, is actually in a basement outside of Rehovot.
Oh, the Bolt Factory?
Yeah. How many people here have been to the Bolt Factory? Show of hands. Most of you have been. Gevaldik. So I'll say briefly, Chazar for those who have been, and a little bit of taste for those who have not been. I think it was, if I remember correctly, for around 45 till 48, during the last couple of years, after World War II, leading up to the Milchemet HaShechrur in 1948, they knew that this was coming. It was increasingly clear there was going to be a war sooner or later over Eretz Yisrael. And the British did not allow Jews to have or carry or manufacture weapons, which was obviously to say that was an incredible handicap would be the understatement of the century. And the British mandate was going to end, and it wasn't clear exactly what was going to happen. What ultimately happened was that the moment the British mandate ended, the Jews had declared independence, and the Arabs were immediately, proactively began fighting and killing Jews. They had been fighting, they had been killing Jews for decades before. And there had already been war, a lot going on, certainly for decades there had been a lot of attacks on Jews, many, many attacks, brutal attacks on Jews. After Chatzet B'November, and after November 29th, when the UN voted to recognize the right of the Jews to establish a homeland, a state in Eretz Yisrael, that intensified things further. But it was clear that an all-out war was coming, and that we would need to be prepared. And guns are something that, although the British didn't allow them to manufacture, you could make different parts in different places, and that would be sort of easier to be under the radar screen. And then, you know, a soldier gets the parts and puts them together. But bullet, or maybe at some depot, they're putting the pieces together. But bullets have to be manufactured in a single place. You can't put the parts together afterwards. You needed a bullet factory, and they couldn't. The British would hang them for having a bullet factory. So when we have more time, we could tell more of the story. There were Jews who established, at incredible personal risk, established within a kibbutz, using the rest of the kibbutz as cover, they made a secret bunker underneath the laundromat and the bakery. The laundromat provided a lot of noise, the bakery provided a lot of strong fragrant aroma, which together covered up what was going on underneath. And they were running a bullet factory in this little basement for a couple of years. They produced several million bullets. They produced several million bullets over the course of a couple of years. And there were all these stories. The British almost caught them once or twice. And they were nitzal. It's incredible. When you see, they had this machinery, which was jammed to this little basement. And everything was secret, even from the other half of the kibbutz didn't know that these people were, the other after kibbutz, they called them giraffes, thought that these people were going out working in some orange grove off of the kibbutz. They didn't realize they were actually hiding in the basement making bullets. So they had this whole elaborate scheme. They had to sit in under lamps for a few minutes every day to stay tanned, so that it would be reasonable to say that their cover story that they were working the orange groves. And it was a little teeny tiny space, and with a lot of machinery, a lot of heavy machinery packed into this small space. And the next room over, after you machine the bullet, the metal part, you then have to fill it with gunpowder. There's a little teeny tiny basement, not much bigger, I would say, than this room and the next room over. Not just that little room, but the 444. The only injury during those years was there was a guy who was distracted looking at someone else. It ends up he was using the cutting machine. He ended up cutting off a little bit of skin from the tip of his finger. They could have exploded every single day. Tons of machinery, tons of gunpowder right next to each other. The number of nisim that happened down there are if you go as Yirei Shamayim with open eyes, I have a very strong heart personally. For me, it's a place where you have a particularly strong hargasha of Hashgachas Hashem, and a particular clarity that Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted Hakamas HaMedina to happen. We couldn't, but B'Derech HaTeva, we could not have won the war without a couple million bullets. And B'Derech HaTeva, there was no way for Jews to have bullets, enough bullets to run, to go in May of 48. And it was Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's just one little example of the ways in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu carried us. Rabban Biyad Miyatim. Rabban Biyad Miyatim. So I saw Halal Shalom, Chatzi Halal, Bracha, no Bracha. So I said before that, as Rabbi Shach likes to point out, seriously, but also recognizing the irony of it, it has nothing to do with how Zionistic you are. It has everything to do with the Chasam Sofer and Netziv. What does the Chasam Sofer and Netziv have anything to do with Yom HaTzmaut? The Netziv was a Zionist, and the Chasam Sofer is one of the Achronim who developed the idea of Aschalta Zegula as a halachic concept, as Rabbi Shechter quotes in Bekvat Zon. But it's not about that. It's about the following. There's a Machlokas Chasam Sofer and Netziv, whether Halal on Chanukah. We said before, there are two types of halal. Halal mitam yamtiv, simchis yamtiv, and halal zeich halanais. It's halal on Chanukah, doraisa drabanan. First you say, how could halal on Chanukah be doraisa? Chanukah is drabanan. So obviously, everything about Chanukah is drabanan. The answer is no, because after all, the Gemara at the end of Pesachim talks about that Chizkiyahu was taken to task for not saying halal. He was Nosha, there was Yeshua. They woke up the morning of Pesach, and Sancheir's army was gone, Benes, and he's taken to task for not saying halal. And the Gemara appears to relate that to Az Yashir. Az Yashir is a mocker for saying halal in response to an ace. That's Pesukim and Chumash. So, some sofers are of the opinion that you're mechuyiv to say halal. If there was an ace, and there was Yeshua and Hanukkah, so you have to say halal. So that's Daraisa. The problem is that the Tziv points out, but there's a Gemara in Brachas Daf Yud Aleph and Aleph that seems to say pretty clearly that Halal is Drabanan. Because the Gemara is talking about the Dinim of Hefsek in Halal. So Gemara says, well, Kriyashma is Daraisa, and still sometimes you're allowed to stop in the middle to have certain conversations. The Mishnah Mipnei Kol Pnei Yira, the Gemara says, Kal V'Chomer for Halal, which is only Drabanan. That's pretty explicit that Halal is Drabanan. So to their responses to that, their response, the Chasam Sofer tries to explain, if you read that there's more to the sugya. Gemara says, Mifrasam Nisa, that may not be the maskana of the sugya. So the Chasam Sofer is of the opinion that Halal on Chanukah, Halal Zeichel Nes is Daraisa. And the Tziv is of the opinion, no, Halal on Chanukah is Drabanan. There is an idea of Halal min HaTorah, that's Bishas HaNes. As Yashir, at the time, in response to a Yeshua, Chizkiyahu HaMelech was a lie. Yeshua happened. So the need to respond to Yeshua in real time That's certainly with Hal, that's certainly Daraisa. But whether Zeichel and Eis in future years to commemorate an Eis, that's a machlokas. Some Sofer says Daraisa, and the Tziv says it is Dirabanan. Oh, so where does that leave us? Where does that leave us? What does that have to do with Yom Ha'atzmaut? So first you need another Gemara. The Gemara says in, let's think a little more before we get to Gemara and Tainus. So how does this apply to Yom Ha'atzmaut? So if you say Hal and Chanukah is Daraisa, so that means they didn't need a separate takkan. According to some sefer, you need a new takkana drabanan. It's memela. When there's that sort of that magnitude of an ace, so that magnitude of an ace is memela mechayev hal at the time and in future years. That's why a hal and chanukah is daraisa. Nothing to do with the takkana of the chachmei osa hadar. So then that should be true in the future. It's automatic. It doesn't require a new takkana. So if you can say like some sefer, then you would make the argument that hal yom atzmud is mikradin. If you say like the Netziv, the Hal on Chanukah is Drabanan, meaning it's meaningful, but it only becomes a Chiyuv because there was a separate formal Takana Drabanan. So we didn't have a formal Takana Drabanan. So where does that leave us if you Hal out a formal Takana Drabanan? For that, Baruch Hashem is a Gemara. The Gemara in Tainus Daf Chav Ches. The Gemara in Tainus Daf Chav Ches tells a story. The Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Vav or so tells the beginning of the story. That Gemara Sanhedrin tells that Rav and Shmuel, the first generation of Amoraim and Bavel, they started in Eretz Yisrael and Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi's yeshiva. They were Talmidim, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, Rav and Shmuel, they were some of the senior Talmidim. Rabbi Yochanan was a younger Talmud. Rav and Shmuel were Talmidim, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, and the Gemara tells that Rav got smicha. Gemara gives the whole story for why Shmuel never succeeded in formally getting smicha from Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, that's what we call him, Shmuel, not Rabbi Shmuel. And they go off to Bavel. They are in Shlichut. They go to Bavel to spread Torah in Yerushalayim. And the Gemara says in Chulin, the 8th parak, that Rav comes to Bavel and there's horrible, horrible amaratzas. In the 8th parak of Chulin, the Kol HaBasar, by Bas B'Chalav, maybe some of you saw this, the year that we learned Chulin, the Gemara says, Rav comes to a town called Tat Lefush. That's not a name you're going to forget. Test. Lamed Fe Vavshin. Rav comes to Tat Lefush, and he overhears the following conversation between two Jewish women, two frum women. They're swapping recipes. One asks, how much milk do you use for a quarter pound of meat? So Rav says, whoa, what's going on here? Rink amaretzis. I don't know the basics of Bas B'Chala. So Gemara said, Rav said, we have to teach, and we have to make more takanos drabanan. Interesting approach. That if people are being mezalzel in the era of halacha, that's not a reason to make all, it's actually a reason to create more takanas drabanan. So then the Gemara, so with that in mind, you now look from Sanhedrin Davav and 8th Perek of Chulin, you come to Tainus Chav Ches. And Gemara tells, Rav walks into Shul, Rosh Chodesh morning in Bavel, and after Shmoneh Esrei, they start doing something by which he is appalled. What do they do after Shmoneh Esrei that appalls Rav? They start saying halal. He says, halal? What's going on? A bunch of amaratzim. Everyone knows there's no chi of halal Rosh Chodesh. Remember, I told you before. No one, I don't know if anyone pointed this out. I told you before, the Braisa has a list, the Braisa in Erechin and in Megillah, and there in Tainus has a list of the 18 days you say halal, they say halal shalim. Yudchais Yamsha Yachid Gomer Sahalal was Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkot, Shmiat, Tzeres, and Chanukah. Nothing about Rosh Chodesh. Rav walks into Shul and Bavel, and the Balabatim starts saying halal after Shacharis. He says, "Vayter more amaratzes." So they don't know about Bas B'Chalav. They don't know Hilchos Halal. What's going on here? And the Gemara says, "Came into Chaza to come a dalgi dalugi." He saw that they were skipping, that they were saying Chatzial. He says, "Oh, okay. In that case, minhag avasei and biyadeim. That's okay. Minhag avasei and biyadeim." So what's going on in the Gemara? Kara Michael, what's Havvin and what's the Maskana? It's the Shaka Vitaria. He walks into the same hall, he says, that's terrible. It's Rosh Chodesh. You don't say Al Rosh Chodesh. Then he says, Chatzi Hal, that's okay. Minhag avasei and biyadeim. In other words, Hal Shalom, you only say when there's a Chiyav Hal. If there's no Chiyav Hal, you don't say Hal Shalom. But you can have a minhag to say Chatzi Hal. If it's mitam minhag, it's not mikra, then you're going to say Chatzi Hal. It's true that to say Hal every day is diminishes and demeans the halal. But apparently Rosh Chodesh it's although it's not a chiyuv, it's a meaningful minig. Why is it a meaningful minig? Probably because there is a discussion about simcha on Rosh Chodesh, and the extent to which there's simcha on Rosh Chodesh min ha'tam jabad, no chiyuv seuda, although it may be meaningful to have a seuda, there certainly is an iser to fast, and there's a discussion how ancient is that iser to fast Rosh Chodesh. There is an element of simcha Rosh Chodesh. Also may go back to how you read the psukim in Ba'al Oscha. V'yom simchaschem uv'moadeichem v'rashaychad sheichem. Is there a colon? V'yom simchaschem, number one, moadeichem, number two, rashaychad sheichem. So that's probably what's driving Rav in that sugya. There's no chiyuv halal on Rosh Chodesh. There is not enough simcha to mechayiv halal on Rosh Chodesh. But it's not silly. It's meaningful. It does make sense to say halal on Rosh Chodesh. So you can say halal shalom on Rosh Chodesh because it's only a minig. But you can say chatzi halal. Number one. Gemara teaches us that. And then if you open up Shulchan Aruch, Arachayim, Hilchas Rosh Chodesh, I think it's Simin Taf Chav Beis maybe, Taf Yud Zayin, somewhere around there. And there are a couple of Simon Hilchas Rosh Chodesh, one of them is about Hal. So they tell you there, there's a Machlekas, Ashkenazim, and Sfaradim, do you say a bracha on Halal on Rosh Chodesh or not? When you say Halal Mita Minig, does it call for a bracha or not? That's a Machlokas, Rambam, and Bal Yatosis, but saying brachas on Minhagim. I said, oh, Machlok is a beautiful briskerav. The one briskerav in Hilchas Brachas, the Sefer Rambam, the only one in Hilchas Brachas, is about that Machlokas. About the Rambam says, you don't say a brach on a minig, and the Bali Tos say you do. At the end of that piece is where he has the famous shtickle b'shem his father about the nature of Birkas HaTorah. So now we come back to Hal Yom Atzmaut. Now that we know something, it's now ready to think it through. So what's the story with Hal Yom Atzmaut? So certainly, if Hal on Chanukah is Daraisa, like some Sefer said, that Zeichonais is independently Mechayiv Hal, so then you have a Chiyuv Hal Yom Atzmaut as well. If Hal on Chanukah is Drabanan, meaning required a separate Takana, there was no separate Takana Drabanan to say Hal Yom Atzmaut. It can be a meaningful minug as the Gemara in Tanis Chavchez presents about Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh is a minig extension of halal of Simchas Yontif. Yom Atzmaut will be a minig extension of halal of Zeichel and Eis. So that's why if you hold a Chassam Sof, you should say halal shalim with a bracha, real chiyuv halal like any other, like Chanukah. If you hold that halal Chanukah is Rabbanan, so halal on Yom Atzmaut is going to be mitat minig, then you're going to say chatzi halal. And should you say a bracha or not? That's a good question. So Svardin didn't say a bracha earlier this week on Rosh Chodesh because that was minik, and he didn't say a bracha. Ashkenazim, so the standard Ashkenazi psak is to say halal on Rosh Chodesh, chatzi halal with a bracha. Although there are many Ashkenazi Tamil Chachamim who try to avoid the issue. If you're davening in shul, so why not be listen to the chazan's bracha and say amen, and then you avoid the suffix. If the din is like Bali Taisis, you yotze with the chazan's bracha. If the din is like the Rambam, you didn't say bracha latal. But strictly speaking, mikra din, the Ashkenazi practice is to say bracha naminig. So that's but then the question is, I read there's a machlokas harishonim, a suffix bracha batala. You have a minig that's almost 2,000 years old. Do you say a bracha or not? And that's already a machlokas harishonim. So there's plenty of room to say you have a minig that's a couple of years old. We're even more scared of the bracha levatal. And so that's why, if holach some sefer, so that the hal chanukah is daraisa, so then if you accept the analysis of Medina Yisrael, so then Yom Atzmaut is the same. A nace that happened in Eretz Yisrael, the result in Jewish sovereignty, mamash Yeshuas from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kim'at nisim gluyim, so that's machayiv hal, regular hal shalom with a bracha. If you holach like the... You hold like the Netziv, so then you would say Chatzi Halal, and likely without a bracha. The Shechter's epilogue to this is that apparently when the Rabbanut was figuring out what to do in terms of Seder HaTfilah and Yom HaTzmaud, the Rav that they tasked with working that out was a Hungarian. So he was had the Mesorah of the Chassam Sefer. So he assumed it's like Chanukah. This is a real chiyuv halal. So you say a bracha, you say halal shalom. And if you, but if you're part of the Masorah of Valajin or of Litta in general, you're more likely to follow the Netziv. You say it's a meaningful minig, a meaningful minig like Rosh Chodesh. The fact that we say Hal Chatzi Hal Rosh Chodesh doesn't mean that we're anti Rosh Chodesh. Ah, you don't care about Rosh Chodesh enough. That's only say Chatzi Hal. No, that's a din. That's just and certainly the fact that some Sofer, you know, says thought that Hal and Chanukah is Matzorah and the Netziv thought that Hal and Chanukah is Rabbanon does not reflect some political view that Chassam Sofer was a more pro-Chashmonoi and that the Netziv somehow had some hidden sympathies for the Yevanim. And that's why the Chassam Sofer thought the Halal Chanukah is Daraisa and the Netziv said, no, it had nothing to do with that. It has to do, they had the same perspective on Chanukah. It's just a question of how are the dinim of Halal structured. Yeah.
So two things. One, if Ashkenazim say the bracha for Rosh Chodesh, why isn't Yom HaTov the same? And also, does this change when Yom HaTov is pushed earlier because it would otherwise...
Both excellent questions. So that's why you'll find all three versions. You'll find Halal Shalom with a bracha, you'll find Chatzi Halal with a bracha, and you'll find Chatzi Halal without a bracha. Halal Shalom with a bracha, if you're assuming like some Seferim. And then the other two, if you assume like the Netziv, but here's the question. Again, even some Ashkenazi poskim are a little scared of the bracha, like I was saying before. Are scared of the bracha and Rosh Chodesh would prefer to hedge their bets. So the question is, how the Rambam holds that even a 2,000-year-old minig, you don't say a bracha. So the question is, you know, sort of like, almost like a havud lo losufala. The 2,000-year-old minhagin, so Bala Taisus said we should say bracha. The question is, how long does it take before you say bracha? The first year of the minhag, the second year of the minhag, the 10th year of the minhag? Like, and especially since it's not a risk-free proposition. This has nothing to do with how you feel about Zionism. It's the same shayla, or similar shayla. It's similar to the shayla Rosh Chodesh. In other words, saying a bracha versus not saying a bracha, you are dealing with the safek bracha of Atala. This has nothing to do, by the way, let me be very clear. This has nothing to do with the, oh, I'm just saying Tehillim, I'm just saying Psukim. No, this is saying Halal. Saying Halal, ideally after Shmoneh Esrei, right? Saying Halal, or Kadosh Tzedakah, saying Halal. The same way we say Chatzi Halal on most of Pesach, the same way we say Chatzi Halal, we don't say Rosh Chodesh, oh, I'm not really saying Halal, I'm just saying some Psukim of Tehillim after Shmoneh Esrei. No, that's the way we say Halal in the Talmidic. The way you say Hal Matam Minik is Chatzi Hal. The way you say Hal Mikra Adin is Hal Shalom. That's the Gemara in Tanya Stav Chav Ches Nabeit. But whether or not you say a bracha on Hal Matam Minik is an open question. It's an open question even Rosh Chodesh. So even on an ancient Minik, it's an open question. So some posts can say, okay, some posts can say what you said. But we're Ashkenazim. If we're smart and we should not say bracha. But if we're Ashkenazim, so the same would say bracha on Rosh Chodesh, we say bracha on Yom HaTzvot. And it's a legitimate approach. At the same time, if you appreciate the fact that this is open question, which even for Ashkenazim is a little in the background, is a frightening question of Safek Bracha, then you appreciate why we would say we're not going to say Bracha. But again, mindful of the way we began, that yeah, oftentimes when people don't say a Bracha, things get misinterpreted. Like, Yasuvi Yasvinan, Baruch Ilam Varchinan. You sit in Sukkah Shmi Atzeres, don't say a Bracha, that perhaps, historically, led many people to take Sukkah and Shmi Atzeres less seriously. Oh, there's no bracha. It must be. It's not really a chiyuv. Oh, it's not really a thing. That's a misinterpretation. There's a cheshbon for why we do this and we don't do that. But oftentimes, unfortunately, people flatten halachic richness into partisan pettiness. Instead of, again, like I said before, it's not that some people are more pro tefillin and some people are more pro chol moed. Not that I don't take tefillin seriously enough. It's not that the netziv looked up to the chashmonoim less than the chasam zofer did. There's a rich structure of halacha, and this is what emerges when you figure out how all the pieces fit together. And that idea of understanding that. That there's a rich structure of halacha. Some had the nusach. The Rav had the nusach about his grandfather, Reb Chaim, that my grandfather took bas b'chol from the kitchen and brought it to the Beis HaMedrash. Reb Chaim pointed out that you have the same sweep and depth and nuance of lamdas in sugyas of bas b'chol that you do in sugyas in Bava Basra and Ksubas. So some said that taking that step further, and the Rav took the sitter and brought it to the Beis Hamedrash. One of the many things that the Rav, one of the many sort of meta chidushim, was most of his public shiurim outside of yeshiva focused on Inyanei Arachaim, particularly Inyanei Tefillah. You think about the most of the Yartzeit shiurim were Arachaim. There's one that was on above Basra Sugya, Osius Nictus B'Mesir, the beginning of Perakasvina. But almost all were in Arachaim. And for years and years and years, the shiurim that he gave on the west side of the shul that existed at the time called Moria, most of the years were on Brachas and Megillah. So the Rav invested a lot of energy into pointing out that the same degree of lamdas you have anywhere else, you have in Hilchas Kriya Shema, Hilchas Tefillah, Hilchas Kriya Satara. The Siddur is a lamdash, is a lamdash institution as much as any other. So that's going to be true. That's an example of that at length that we just did with picking the parhal. It's true for the rest as well, and it's why let's say in terms of shofar, in terms of haftarah. So there are many shuls and yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael that do have a whole, and in America too, that have a whole tefillah chagigit leil Yom Ha'atzmaut, and to the extent also the morning, Leil Ha'atzmaut, and the morning of Yom Ha'atzmaut, with Psuki de Zimra of Shabbos, and the different versions and varieties, and Tekiya Shofar, and Kabbalah Shabbos at night, and Talein Haftarah, and the morning the Haftarah they lane is actually the what B'nai Chutzar is lane as Shemini Shal Pesach, Ode Yom B'Nov La'amod, which is a glorious Haftarah of Yeshua from Sancheirev, and then looking forward to the Yeshua Lasid Lava, the Gula Lasid Lava, the Moshe Mashiach. So it is very apropos, Perek for Yom HaTzmaut. The question is, does it make sense? And again, here, oftentimes, people sort of flatten this into partisanship. Like, oh, you're doing this, so you're more Zionistic. And you're doing that, so you're less Zionistic. As opposed to saying the following. We don't say Kabbalah Shabbos on Pesach, unless it happens to be Shabbos too. Why? Does that mean that you're not pro-Pesach enough? You're anti-Pesachist? Hopefully not. Hopefully not. Kabbalah Shabbos is an expression of Kavod Shabbos, and that expression of Kavod is more relevant to Shabbos than to Yamim Tovim. If you don't blow shofar on Pesach, do you blow shofar? Do you blow shofar when you bake matzahs?
Yes.
Fascinating. Do you say slichos when you bake matzahs?
We say slichos, hell, and blow shofar, and sometimes also shake lulav.
Thank you.
Rabbi, I'm mocking.
It would not have been unreasonable. It would not have been unreasonable. It would not have. I'm glad to hear that there are many different things going on at your matzah bakeries. It would not have been unreasonable to say you should blow shofar during baking matzahs. Matzahs are a similar for gula. We saw Rashbam, Kufches, and Psachim. And the matzah is both, but matzah is not a lechem only. It's also a simon of gula. Shofar is something we associate with gula. One of the official 10 reasons why you blow the 10 ramazim of shofar on Rosh Hashanah is zecher legula, elo shel Mashiach. It wouldn't have been totally unreasonable, wouldn't have been totally silly to blow shofar in conjunction with baking matzahs. Okay, to highlight the zecher legula shabbat as you bake the matzahs. But there's no chiv. It wouldn't have been unreasonable, but lamaisa, there's a mechayev for a shofar. There's a mechayev for a shofar on Rosh Hashanah. The fact we don't blow shofar on Purim doesn't mean we don't take Purim seriously enough. It means HaKadosh Baruch Hu blessed us and Chazal blessed us with many different kiyumim and many different mitzvahs. And every mitzvah has its particular sphere of applicability. And the fact that we don't shake lulav on Shavuos doesn't mean we don't take Shavuos seriously. The overall theme that Rabbi Schechter develops in several of the articles in Bikvei Atzon, he has three or four articles over the course of this, his second sefer, Bikvei Atzon, where he develops together a coherent lamdish theory of Medinas Yisrael, Vashalta de Gula, of Yerushalayim, three or four pieces that taken together really give you a whole
picture. So what emerges largely is if you're trying to figure out what category Yom HaTzmut fits into, essentially it fits into the category of Chanukah and Purim. Pesach, some Sefer, and Nesivos, that the fact that they are masaking Chanukah and Purim as Yamim Tovim in the Megillas Tanis, and that unlike the others, the Gemara says the rest of Megillas Tanis withered away, stopped applying with the Churban Habayis, because they were all celebrations of what was going on in the Beis HaMikdash. They restored, restored Korban Omer to the 16th of Nisan and so on. And so different things that they took back things from the Romans, they took back things from the Tzedukim. Those were things that had impact then, but did not have any impact l'achar Korban Habayis. So the Megillas Tanis was butla, except for Chanukah and Purim. Because the Reshef develops based on earlier Achronim, Chanukah and Purim had relevance not only for then, but also haschala of the building towards the Gula Hasida. In other words, they are, as Nesivos writes in his Pirish on the ninth parak of Megillas Esther, they are haschalta de Gula, and therefore are worthy of Yom Tov. Bechlal, the whole idea of Megillas Tainus is that you're only Misaki, it's meaningful to Misaki and New Yom Tov. It's not Baltosif to Misaki and New Yom Tov if it has to do with restoration or improvement of Beis HaMikdash or Avodas HaKarbanos. And that you see from the Psukim and Chumash, that they made Miluim at the time that they built the Mishkan, and they also had when they built the Bayis Rishon, and they also had when they built the Bayis Sheni, and the Navi describes what's going to be Lasid Lava when we built the Bayis HaShlishi. So you see, and that's the Megillah Sinus is an extension of that. And not only when you mamish build it, but even when there was a small added improvement, you don't make a whole 7-day celebration. But you can make a Yom Tov whenever there was an improvement or enhancement in or towards Beis HaMikdash or Avodas HaKarbanos. So that's why Chanukah and Purim are low batlu, because they have an element of Ashalta Zugula. And that's where Yom HaTzmut is not Pesach, it's not Shavuos, it's not Sukkot, it's not Shabbos, but it is of the it's a bechina. If you're Chassidish, you say it's a bechina of Chanukah and Purim. If you're Litvish, you say it's part of the Geder of Chanukah and Purim, whatever terminology you like to use. But it fits into that category. It's a Geder and it's a Bechina. It fits in that category in halachic terms, and it captures the same hashkafic, agadic zone. It's in the same space. And that's why, and indeed, Chanukah, we don't say Tachnun. Chanukah, we say Hal. Purim, we would have said Hal, but for reasons we don't, and those reasons do not apply to Yom HaTzmut. That's why Yom HaTzmut is on the Hal side, you're going to fall on the Chanukah side of the border rather than the Purim. The fact that we don't blow shofar on Chanukah or Purim, the fact that we don't say Kabbal Shabbos on Chanukah or Purim, the fact we don't say Psuk de Zimra of Shabbos, Chanukah or Purim, does not in any way express a hesitancy or a lack of enthusiasm about Chanukah and Purim. We are very enthusiastic about Chanukah. We are super enthusiastic about Purim. Not only emotionally, but halachically as well. And each one has its own kiyumim. The Rav writes, I think it maybe it's Halachic Man, that he was very wary of the ceremonialization of Judaism. I believe he also refers to it as the Catholicization of Judaism.
Wow.
Just make everything to ceremony. Just, could they do this because it feels good, it feels like it's symbolic. The things have to have kiyumim. And even as we've discussed in the past, even Minhagi Yisrael are plugged into the meaningful Minhagi Yisrael, are plugged in our Ke'en Daraisa, Ke'en Shal Torah, they give you Ke'en the Halacha. So that's why, so there were those, there were other Rabbanim Chashuvim who did think it made sense to say Kabbal Shabbos and to say Lechadodi, or parts of Lechadodi. It does happen to be that most of Lechadodi is not about Shabbos, most of Lechadodi is about Mikdash and Geula. So we understand the Svara, we understand the symbolism of Shofar, we understand the symbolism, the meaningfulness of reciting aloud Odiyom Benov. It's a very meaningful parak of Tila, a very meaningful parak, two prakim and three psukim of Yishayo. The question is yes. And at the same time, if you want to sit and learn Odiyom Benov, that's definitely a kiyum today. But to read it as a haftar, the question is, some Rabban felt that's very appropriate. And the Rav thought, you're just like making up ceremonies. There are dinim, chazal or masakin, a concept of haftarah, and there are rules. We don't say haftarah in Chalom Moed. We only say haftarah when there's an Isra Malacha. So just stop to throw in haftarah, that's not the way Minhag Yisrael is supposed to work. Finally, let's talk.
Huh? We say Haftar and Tanya
Sefer. We do say Haftar and Tanya Sefer. That is correct. And that's a special separate Takan Rabban. Correct. That's matter of fact, the only time we say Haftarah and Davka and Mincha, not Shachris. And that's part of the discussion about on Yom Kippur. How you understand the nature of the Haftarah Yom Kippur. Let us try to learn Torah, to think about things with Simcha, with the Avos Hashem, with the Avos Yisrael, and with clarity. Yeah, a question. Very good. But you get to that in a moment. I want to talk about the final things I want to talk about. Number one, what about haircuts and what about dancing and music in terms of Avel Sosfira? Because Yom HaTzimut falls out in the intersection of all possible Menage Avel Sosfira. All possible Menhagim, including in the Venn diagram, all the different Menhagim, when you have Avel Sosfira, Yom HaTzimut is in the center. So how does that work in terms of haircuts and shaving and music and dancing, and specifically, let's say like this year, Yom HaTzimut falls out this year on the week the way it fell out in 1948. I think I might have shared with some of you, and I dug this up recently. I should have brought in copies. Maybe I'll share it later. I think I mentioned yesterday in passing, the Kol HaTor is a sefer that was published by Shlomo Zalman Rivlin, I think over 100 years ago or so, based on traditions he had and notes he had from his grandfather, great-grandfather, Rehil Mishklov, who was, when we had the chance to hear Rav Rimon at the beginning of the week, he mentioned, right, so I believe they were brothers. They were both from the town of Shklov, I think. They're definitely both from the town of Shklov, and they were both Talmidei Hagra. I believe they're related, or that could be wrong. Be that as it may, it's a Pasar Shulchan of Yisrael Mishklov, and the Kol HaTor, the Torah Hagra on Geula, and on Mashiach Ben Yosef, and the process of Geula, is based on the traditions of Mehil Mishklov. It's been published at different times. Rav Chaim Friedlander actually published it in 1968, a year after the 67 war. Rav Chaim Friedlander was a Talmud of Rav Dessler and would later become the Mashkiach of Panevish. Impeccable yeshivisha credentials. One of the people who published the Kol HaTor with a long, beautiful introduction about the Torah, of the Talmidei HaGra, the Maseres of the Gra. And then more recently, There were notebooks that had not been published previously. More recently, the most recent edition has the following reference to the fact that they came, the Talmidei HaGra come to Eretz Yisrael, I believe they say in 1809, and in 1812, Tav Kuf Ayin Beis. On the 20th of the Omer, exactly, on Yisod Shebet Tiferes, otherwise known as Heyer, that was the day that they came to Yerushalayim and begin to build. It sounds like it's a little flowery. It sounds like that's when they began to build the Ashkenazi Yishuv in Yerushalayim. That's when they laid the foundation stone for the Beis Medrash Eliyahu, Al Shem, the Rebbe, the Gra, and that was on the 20th of the Omer and Yesod Shebet Tiferes. And there's a parenthetical note about some, sounds like you say that in the future will be Miyached Yesod Shebet Tiferes with the Malchus. So apparently, Yaakov Moshe HaRashev told me, Yaakov Moshe Halap apparently in 48 was, as they say, dancing in the streets. When in 47, I think the family tradition is in 47, in November 47, he was very, very pensive. When the UN accepted the partition plan, there was dancing in the streets. Yaakov Moshe Harlap was very pensive because we're losing. We have this, but we're losing so much. But in 48, apparently, Tarim HaKamas HaMedina, it was a Malei Simcha for many reasons, one of which was, we now find Hashem Pshat Nekol HaTor, in Yached the I believe that's a reference to this line. Be miyached the yisod with the malchus. Be miyached hey iyar with vav iyar. Because as this year, in 48, hey iyar was a Friday. May 14th. That's when they declared the state of Israel. But it didn't kick in right away. The British mandate was supposed to end that midnight. But midnight is going to be Friday night. So they signed it in advance on Erev Shabbos, but it was only Chal Leil Shabbos. So the Maisa, it's like Dr. Rabbi Akiva Eiger, the Maisa was on Heyer, but the Chalois was on, the Shilton Yisrael legally began on Vavir, on Leil Shabbos at midnight when the British mandate ended. So that is an interesting question, what to do in a year like this, because the Rabbanut over the years has increasingly tried to move both Yom HaZikaron and Yom HaTzmaut away from Shabbos, or even Erev Shabbos, or Matzah Shabbos, because of the concern of Chil Shabbos on the part of those who are not Shomer Shabbos, that we don't want this to cause further Chil Shabbos. So like this year, everything's a Muktam, today is Dalad year, it's a Yom HaTzmaut Muktam. So in Eretz Yisrael, that's a real concern, and everyone keeps Yom HaTzmaut on Dalad year. Here in Chutz La'aretz, so Yei Shomrim, we shall follow what they do in Eretz Yisrael. Yei Shomrim, no. If you see, particularly if you see Yom HaTzmaut as having actual religious significance, you could play that same card in reverse. If you're really a Zionist, and if you see Yom HaTzmaut as having real, the more you see it as invested with an actual kiyum, the more you invest in the idea, not only the Hodan of Yeshua, but Saul's the Geula. So the more you see significance to Itzumo Shel Yom, and the more you would be driven to say, if you're with a minion on Dal Yer Saint Halak, say Hal with them as well, but to seek to say Hal on Hey Er in particular, no matter what day of the week it falls on. So there, Yeshomer, you should consult Halacha L'Maisa, you should consult your local qualified Orthodox rabbi. But let us wrap up with that, with the final questions of haircuts and shaving and music and dancing, with the added twist, and how about if it's Dalad Yer? How about if the Chagiga start in a few minutes, which is Dalad Yer? So Rabbi Schechter's take, once again, is the same Derech HaPzak. Let's figure out how this works elsewhere. So we discussed earlier, right after Pesach, about the Rav's approach to Avelos Sfira, that it's a minig that reflects, that's patterned after the Avelos Yubes Chodesh. So Alpi Pashtos, Avelos Yubes, unlike Shiva and Shloshim, which are ended by Yom Tov, Avelos Yubes Chodesh, obviously, is not ended by Yom Tov, otherwise it would never be Yubes Chodesh, because there are several Yom Tov Meir. Right? So Avelos Yubes Chodesh does not nidche by Pesach or Shavuos or Sukkot or Chanukah or Purim. That's why. So if you work with that assumption, then you would say so number one. Then you would say that's why there's a debate. In 2 days in Prima Gadim, whether the Avelos of, if you have the first Sfira, does the Avelos of Sfira apply during Chol HaMoed Pesach? You're allowed to have music. You can't get married Chol HaMoed Pesach because they Amar B'Simcha. But Stam, to go to a concert Chol HaMoed Pesach, that's 2 days in Prima Gadim, and the rationale for saying you cannot is, again, because Avelos of Beis Chodesh does apply during Yom Tov, so Avelos of Sfira ought to apply as well. And that probably also drives a discussion about taking a haircut on, or in advance of, Yom HaTzmaut. So there were Rabban Eretz Yisrael, who said, Al panav shal adam nikar, you can tell from your face whether you believe in Aschalta Zegula. I mean, if you didn't shave, then you're not taking Yom HaTzmaut seriously. So that's one approach, but that would be aligned with saying that Avelos HaSfira also doesn't apply on Chol Moed Pesach. But if you take the other approach of Prima Gadim, that Avelos HaSfira is Yubes Chodesh, it applies even on Yom Tov. Not going to concerts on Pesach doesn't mean that I don't take Pesach seriously. It doesn't mean that I'm pro-Mitzri. It means that Avelos Yubes Chodesh isn't contradicted by Yom Tov. So that would be true on Yom HaTzmaut as well. And that's why Rabbi Schechter's position is, well, shaving is a separate discussion, but not to take a haircut for Yom HaTzmaut, but in terms of music, how about in terms of music? So he said, by the same logic, stam is just to listen to music, just to hulya, as he would say, just stam, to listen to music, to dance, whatever, for no good reason. So Avelos HaSfira does apply. Different people, different families have different minhagim in terms of listening to music during Sfira Bechlal. But if you don't listen to music during Sfira, then you shouldn't listen to music in the car Yom HaTzmaut either.
But Chagiga being Samech of Ashal Tzegul will be different for the following reason. I went to two weddings this past Sunday. This past Sunday was the last day of Chodesh Nisan. So those who keep second sphere, they were still getting married up until Shkia. Okay. But then we were all dancing at the second wedding way past Pesach HaChavim. Hayi Tachin, the veils already began. The answer is, but once you get married, so Simcha Shal Mitzvah is Docha the Minhagi Avelos. That's why even if you got married this past Sunday or last Thursday, you could make Shavah, you're making Shavah Brachas this week. And some people do, some people don't. But Mikra, I didn't. You could have music and dancing at Shavah Brachas. Ayat Avelos is Sphere, yeah. But the Simcha Shal Mitzvah is Docha the Avelos of Sphere. So that's what I Shechter thought here as well. And I chaz with him every couple of years. That if it's Tama secular event, so then it's not right to have music. It's a violation of Avos Sfira. But if it's a celebration of Yeshua Hashem, so then that's the Simcha Shal Mitzvah that he thought totally comfortable music and dancing during Sfira. And he said it doesn't matter whether it's Heyir or Vavir. If he had this, if he was making the event, he would choose to make it on Heyir. Because it's more meaningful. But either way, if the significance of the event is to celebrate Yeshua Hashem, so then that's not a stira. That would override a veil of sphira temporarily, much as a wedding or a shavuot brachas would. Personally, because avel has a chiyuv aveil mikra adin. This is a chiyuv aveil mitamina. Good question, and that's the answer. I'll just say my own personal experience is with the caveat that there's no kfiya datit. If you have a family minig not to dance on Yom HaTzmuv because of sphere, now no one's going to force you to do that. But if not, I would encourage you to join me. And I find for myself, maybe it's a chesaron in me, that I feel more plugged in. It's a greater kirvus elokim dancing on Yom HaTzmaut and Yom Yerushalayim than dancing on Chanukah and Purim. Why? Because I believe that Muna Shalema, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved us with Nisim of Mitzrayim, V'tias Mitzrayim, and then Nisim of Chanukah, Nisim Purim, absolutely. But as we saw, Rebbe Akiva said yesterday, the end of Maseches Makos, Rebbe Akiva believed in the Nevuas, but you feel it in your kishkas more when you see it. Eino Doma Shmiel Ariya. So I believe that Muna Shalema, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did all these nisim for us. But I've never met anyone who met anyone who met anyone who actually saw those nisim. But my mother lived the first number of years of her life in Mandatory Palestine, in on Rehov Mitzudela under the British. She remembers the before and after of the Milchemet HaShechur. And all of you know plenty of people who remember what life was like before 1967. Remember what it was like when the Makkah Mikdash was off limits, and Eretz Yisrael was a very, very frightening place that you felt like everything was always precarious, and Jews always were watching their backs in a way that we don't begin to understand, both in Chutz La'aretz and Eretz Yisrael, in ways that far exceed the way we feel right now. So this is something we can mamish, like reach out and touch. So you and I don't remember before 67, but there are. You know plenty of people who do, and you know people who remember 448 also. So there's something that's, achshav that we see. And that should, as Rabbi Kiva said, that should add juice. That should add kirvus elokim to the rest of the year. Your Rosh Hashanah and your Yom Kippur and your Sukkot and your Purim and your Pesach should be further energized by your Yom HaTzmaut and Yom Yerushalayim. These are a perspective from the Makoros, and how to think about the Siddur, Arachayim or Lamdash away, and how to apply it naturally, organically, to the day that we mark and remember and thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the Nisim of the past century. Once again, we're going down right now, unless you have a family made Ignato, to join the Chagiga downstairs, and then from there we'll proceed. Why you? Sudos Hoda in the Heights Lounge. Yeah.